an inventory for the people in our lives, those who give us energy and those who deplete our energy, to really kind of look at our work situation or our friends or our family and really know who is doing what.
And
to have, can you describe that a bit?
That's so important for empaths in particular to take an inventory and really list the ones that give you energy and list the ones that sap you. Of course, there's always a mixture. Things could change. But just basically, who drains your energy? Who do you feel tired around? Who are the energy vampires in your life? And who are the ones who feed you and you get more energy around them and there's more of a collaboration and a heart-centered agreement on how to be with one another, you know, rather, let's say, than an anger addict who dumps on you, and rather than venting, as I talk about the difference between dumping and venting, which is key, and know who these people are, as then you can know how to deal with them. And then you have to identify the types of energy vampires. Are you dealing with an anger addict? Are you dealing with a drama queen? Are you dealing with a narcissist, the most dangerous of energy vampires?
You know, one of the vampires that is more subtle, but it's the one for me that really drains me, and this is the victim vampire.
You don't
think about this as being an energy vampire. So can you describe the victim vampire?
Yes, it's a victim mentality, and I think everybody can slip into it. I don't want to frame energy vampires as them versus us, because we all have the capacity to get into these states. The difference is energy vampires do it unconsciously and keep repeating it, which is a problem. But the victim is somebody who gets into poor me, where they feel the world is against them, nothing is their responsibility, they're not accountable for anything, my boss doesn't understand me, my boyfriend kicked me out for the 10th time, my mother doesn't appreciate what a good person I am, yada, yada, yada. So it can really go on a long time. So with victims, it's important to set limits and boundaries with them, and I suggest using the 3-minute phone call, which is just give them 3 minutes and let them know. I could listen. If you want to go in circles again, I could listen for 3 minutes, and after that, I'm going to say goodbye. But if you want to get into solutions, that's another story. You have to set boundaries with the victim. Otherwise, you'll be on the phone with them 2 hours every night talking about exactly the same thing.
Another one that I love is the nonstop talker.
Right. That's the one that gets me. And I get trapped by these people. It's like hell and torture for me.
Yes.
Except I've learned how to interrupt.
How do you do that then?
I say, excuse me, I really appreciate what you're saying, but I have to go, you know, or I get out of it. I used to just stand there and listen. And I would feel so tired and so sick as an empath. My energy would just bottom out. But because I was trying to be polite, I was trying to be sensitive, I sacrificed my own well-being. So chronic talkers, you know, must be stopped. Someone was about to start up the other day with me, and I said, look, I don't have time for the long story, but this is what's, you know, who's going to be here to help you. So I just cut him off, but I said it really nice and matter of fact.
So you've learned some skillful means in how to kind of gracefully exit from that.
Oh, yes. I exit. I'll leave a lunch or I'll leave a meeting, you know, if I don't have to stay there, if it's going on and on. It just is too much of a sacrifice for me. It is really toxic for me to hear people constantly talking. The words are medicine, and I'm very sensitive to tone and words and how they're spoken. And when somebody just lambasts you with words, it's like being shot with a machine gun or something to me. Energetically, those words are bullets that go into me and sap me. So that's very common with empaths. And by the way, empaths don't like small talk either. And I've never been able to do small talk. And I always kind of felt there was something wrong with me until I just surrendered that notion. I just don't like it. I don't do it. If I go out, I'll ask my friends who are more verbal to talk to people with small talk rather than me. I just can't engage in it. It feels like an obligation that's just draining to me. However, I if I connect to somebody, it's different.
You know, I learned a technique in that small talk sort of thing. So I call it the stand-up cocktail party, although I'm not doing cocktail parties anymore, but you're with a whole group of people and it's buffet and potluck or whatever. And so you're meeting different people. And to one of the opening that I find interesting that as a topic is to say, you know, what's your favorite movie? What have you seen lately? Mm. And that like puts them into, they're not going to tell their old story.
Right.
That kind of like opens a new topic. And who doesn't like to talk about a good movie they've just seen? And uh-huh. that tells you so much about the person that'll start some sort of conversation. It's a kind of a, I'm not in that situation very often, it's kind of a way of circumventing some of that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So tell me, going back to your own relationship, it's been a long time for you. I know that you mentioned in the book that, did I remember that you had a lot of relationships, maybe narcissists in your relationship, and you wanted to really circumvent this pattern. And you actually went to a tantric workshop, and you found that very helpful. I thought that was interesting. Is that right?
Yes. I did. There's a chapter on empaths in love, and I would always choose unavailable men, as many empaths do, because with unavailable people, you're not stressed with the intimacy and feeling suffocated and how to learn how to set boundaries and all the muscles an empath needs to develop in relationships. So my pattern was attracting unavailable men and then bemoaning, why doesn't he call? Why doesn't he reach out to me? And I had been in therapy for many years, and I just got involved with another one, and I was in horrible pain, and I was just so sure therapy doesn't work. I'm not going to sit and talk about this anymore. And I wanted a more body-centered approach. And so I started working with a tantric teacher to learn on a body level, why was I attracting this? What was going on with me? And so the tantra was which is a loving, sexual/sensual spiritual approach towards understanding the body and feeling the body's messages in order to remove blocks.
And so how did that help you then to have more intimate relationships?
Well, my tantric teacher turned out to be my current partner.
Oh, how synchronistic.
who we've been together nearly 4 years. And, you know, he has an unusual understanding of me and desire to be of service to me and my feminine. And I can talk to him about all my empath issues. And he's able to hear, for the most part, what's going on with them and honor it, because I'm afraid to speak my needs. I'll please somebody else at the expense of speaking my own empathic needs, where, you know, now I'm able to say, I need to sleep alone tonight. And he doesn't like sleeping alone. He prefers sleeping with me. But I need to have my alone time so desperately, and is so important for me. And the alone time includes dream time. It includes sleep time, no interruptions of, you know, with movement or whatever, just so I can surrender to that inner space. And we're having ongoing creative dialogue as an empath and with a non-empath. He's not an empath, so he does not perceive things in the way I do. But it's the ongoing journey of the empath who wants to be in a relationship on having these creative conversations on how to make it work. It's really a new pathway.
And I think you bring up a very interesting point. And I think that it's true that when you're sleeping with someone else and you're like, for me, I'm a particularly vivid dreamer.
Yeah.
And if I'm sleeping alone, my dreams are different than when I'm sleeping with someone else. There's something energetically that happens.
What happens when you sleep with someone in the same bed is that your energy fields overlap all night long. And so that does alter your dream time state. And so that's why as a dreamer, I've been a dreamer since I've been a little girl. It's my main connection to intuition is through dreams, is that I need to have that dream time without any interruptions. And so I, as an empath, and I talk about this in the book, how do you balance this intense need for dream time and alone time and this intense need for love and companionship? And it's almost like they seem that they are opposite of one another, where I've wanted to be alone all my life and I've wanted to be in love all my life. So what do you do with that? That's the path I'm on. And I have a lot of solutions so far. I've made a lot of good progress, I want to report. And for those empaths in a relationship, I talk about the solutions I've discovered and ones I think really work, so that empaths can be in a relationship with a person.
We don't have time for you to go into all of them, but can you just mention maybe one or two that have worked for you?
Yes. Speaking honestly about your needs, taking your alone time when you need it, going out into nature, being honest about your feelings with someone so you're not always trying to please them. If you feel on the verge of suffocation, to be able to attend to that right away rather than bolting, which is what I used to do, was just bolt because it got too intense. And time management for yourself.
So being transparent in some way.
Yeah, you have to be. And that's hard, because the risk was I was afraid always I was, quote, too intense for a man, you know, that I would burn them out somehow.
Well, you were told that as a kid, that,
right.
just calm down, you're too sensitive and things like that.
Right. And, you know, I've always had my own path in terms of my creative path and my inner work. And the problem is, when I'm writing my books, I'm an empath alone in my own playground, and I'm totally comfortable with it. I'm yearning for a partnership.
Yes.
So in my lifetime here and now, I want to integrate these two, and that's part of my spiritual journey at the moment.
I know that one of the techniques that you talk about, too, is something called earthing.
Yes.
And that's important, I think, for all of us, empaths or sensitive people or just the rest of us. It's really important. Can you say what earthing is?
Yes, earthing is a technique where you touch the earth with your bare feet or your body, and you get very, very close to the earth, and you share the electrons with the earth. You share your body with the earth, and the earth shares its wealth with you, and you connect. It's like connecting to the Great Mother. And what this does is that this grounds you.
It does. It grounds you.
It's very, very,
very
grounding. And empaths need to be grounded, because they just, you know, go way out of their bodies and get anxious.
Right. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Judith Orloff. She's a psychiatrist. She's the author of The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, drjudithorloff.com. And that's spelled D-R-Judith. Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. She has a free empath support newsletter. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Judith Orloff. She's a psychiatrist and the author of The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. And I would love to talk about where we are right now. It's 2017, And it seems, I know that you are looking forward to a compassion revolution. You say through our sensitivity, we can create a compassion revolution and save the world. So I'd love for you to say something about that.
Yes, at this point in history, I believe that the single most important quality is empathy. And that through empathy, understanding others, even if we don't agree with them, even if we think they're so wrong, trying to put yourself in other people's shoes and then trying from there to find a compromise or at least a way to be harmoniously with somebody is key, you know, rather than judging them. And I love this quote that I included in the book. It's by environmentalist David Orr, where he says, "The planet does not need more, quote, successful people. The planet desperately needs more peacemakers, healers, restorers, storytellers, and lovers of all kinds. It needs people to live well in their places. It needs people with moral courage willing to join the struggle to make the world habitable and humane. And these qualities have little to do with success as our culture defines it."
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
And it's so true. We don't need another CEO making tons of money. We need you in your healing work. We need you empaths. We need you sensitive people to love each other more, to be nurturers, to be creative and storytellers. We need to ignite the sensitivity on this earth and our love of the earth. And that is what success means at this point. It doesn't mean getting a degree, making $1 million and going working for some law firm, you know, unless, of course, it's your destiny and you feel, you know, it's to be of service, you must do that. But it means following your heart to your deepest depths of sensitivity and creativity. And that might not fit in, you know, the old version of what success means. And so sensitivity is something to embrace. And empaths are pivotal to manifesting this shift. An empath can't afford to shut off his or her feelings anymore and numb themselves with drugs, alcohol, food, sex, relationships, or be a recluse somewhere just terrified of the world. I invite all the empaths to come out of hiding, to begin to deal with your sensitivities. Come out of the closet. Stop hiding. Stop being shamed. Now, be proud of your sensitivities and gain a community of support. So that these are the people that will save the world, the beauty of the heart, the beauty of sensitivity.
Now, you just said, and join a community. That was like a key, I know, for you. So say something about the importance of communities.
It's so important, particularly at this time in history, to have other like-minded people who can support you when you begin to lose hope, when you begin to get dark or anxious or depressed or whatever else we all feel at times. To have your community, either of other empaths, I talk about how to form an empath support group in your city, which I think is so important, or like-minded organizations like New Dimensions Radio, you know, to be able to have a community and know that you're not alone. You know, empaths get into trouble because they feel that they're weird, not alone, neurotic, and with some mental disorder, which is so not true. You know, your sensitivities are a gift. You just have to learn how to manage them and be compassionate with yourself and be open to how you can be of service with them in the world, either to the FedEx guy, you know, your smaller community, your larger community, or if you're called in a greater world sense. It's all important. It's all light-bearing.
So you're saying every interaction makes a difference.
Yes.
So it's paying attention. Nobody else is watching. It's not that we're performing for anybody else. It's like we are beholden to make every interaction one of light.
Exactly. You are beholden to the light, and you are the maidens and the channels of the light. And so when you can help anyone through love, you ignite that spark of light and love, and that just goes everywhere. You have no idea how small acts of kindness or sensitivity, or just even saying, "I love your sensitivity. I embrace it. I embrace who you are. I don't want you to change. I don't want you to toughen up. I love you just as you are, you beautiful empath." And when you have that kind of love around you, you feel stronger in yourself in order to come out. And that's what I'm suggesting that empaths and sensitive people need to do, is to come out, but in a net of safety.
Now, in that net of safety, that's important. And I know that you have a wonderful meditation and strategy, which is to shield yourself. Because it's important. I mean, if you're out in the world, there are a lot of things flying around that are darker, that are energy zaps, and that are negative. So to come out, what can we do to shield ourselves so that we can be that loving light, compassion?
Yes, well, you can visualize simply a shield of white light or pink light about 5 inches from the body to protect you, and it allows positive energy in, but not the toxicity of the world. But there's another technique that my friend, shaman Sandra Ingerman, gave me when I was going through a really hard time with that unavailable man, and he kept appearing in my dreams when I was trying to let go of him. She gave me this beautiful jaguar, and she said, use the jaguar to patrol your dream space, and you're aware, you're open every day, awake space too. And that jaguar knows exactly what to do. And you attune to that jaguar and let the jaguar protect you. And I so resonated with that I can feel that jaguar at the time protecting my dream time, so I didn't keep having dreams of this unavailable man show up in all kinds of situations that I didn't want to keep dreaming about him. So a protection technique, if you're out in the world, you can call on your power animal, your jaguar, which is mine. Yours could be anything you choose. But, you know, you use your spirit animal to go out there in the world. You're not alone. There are other forces around. I mean, I talk about animal empaths and connecting to animals, and earth empaths connecting to the earth. They're forces beyond which the intellect doesn't understand. And because empaths are so sensitive, they can feel them and tune into them, even your higher power. I find the jaguar very important when I'm out in the world, you know, to protect me from those negative energies.
So I'm thinking the one for me, and I have this on my desktop. It's the picture on my desktop. I found this incredible picture of a female cheetah.
Yeah.
And she's on this little mound, and just the blue sky is behind her, and she's silhouetted, but her head is turned towards the camera. Mm. And underneath her are 5 cubs. 5 babies that are cuddled underneath her. Mm-hmm. And she's looking into the camera with such fierceness.
Oh, yes.
It's like, oh, man, it just like really opens my heart whenever
right.
I turn on my computer and see it
right.
and just feel that mother protection
right,
and grounded on the earth and protecting all the babies.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so it's like finding those things when we're going out in the world to help us, to that protects us so that we can live in that soft energy of,
right.
of light and love
right.
and compassion.
Right. And to know that you have that fierce jaguar within you, too, because empaths are often very nice people, too
yes.
nice and sweet and polite. But you need to contact that inner jaguar so that you can be protected and so that you have the courage to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Or no, I really can't listen to it anymore because I have to go, to cut off that chronic talker, to say no to that narcissist, even though you're madly in love with him, but you know it's not healthy for you. You go, you walk the other way. That takes courage. You know, but empaths have to protect themselves in this way, otherwise pay the consequences. And I believe all experiences are spiritual experiences. Some are just more painful than others. And the narcissist lover is an extremely painful one. I guarantee you that.
Like a noble adversary.
They are. Everyone is a noble adversary, even the ones that you know, just hate the most
right,
or whatever.
So they're spiritual teachers is what you're saying.
If you look at it that way, they can be.
They can be. I mean, if you really embrace it that way and say, oh, I'm learning, it's helping me to learn that I need boundaries,
yes.
that I need to speak my truth, and it's okay for me to do that, and I'm still lovable when I do that.
I'm still lovable. And when that, quote, powerful person in the world tells you to get a thicker skin because there's something wrong with you, you can just smile and say, thank you for sharing and keep moving on. No, thank you. Yes. That isn't me. That isn't what I want to do. And I don't care where it's coming from. I want to own my being an empath and my sensitivity and my intuition and my depth of spirit. I want to own who I really am and come out with it at this point in time and enjoy yourself. I want to say being an empath is so much fun. You know, you get to see into things. You get to talk to the flowers. You get to feel the ocean. You get to connect to forces in your meditations that are deeply spiritual. You get to know about the mysteries of life and the extreme joy and bliss that the empath can feel from anything that resonates blissful energy. So you have all of that, you know, that I love being an empath, and that's why I'm so passionate about teaching empaths to manage the more difficult parts so they can enjoy the more positive parts.
Oh, Judith, that we could go on and on. I know people can find many, many parenting, work situations, all sorts of things in your book. So I just invite people to look it up and check it out. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you. I've been here with Dr. Judith Orloff. She's a psychiatrist, the author of The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. And if you want to know about her free empath support newsletter or all of her work, you can go to her website, drjudithorloff.com. And that's DR for doctor, Judith Orloff, ORLOFF.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3602.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore new dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Kathy Wilde, author of Wild Ideas, Creativity from the Inside Out. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about using the creative process for personal transformation.
Have you ever felt so sad that you don't know what's making you sad? Have you ever felt so alone because no one understands? They ask you, how are you? And you say, I'm tired, because it'll be too much to explain that you're sad. No one understands, even writing it down. Nothing. nothing seems to help. The dark days are just dark. We understand. Talk to me or any one of us at the Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention Center. Just dial 1-833-456-4566 or visit crisisservicescanada.ca.